Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling, presented by Tommy Media. On today's show, we recap the Masters and give our NBA playoff predictions. Then GameMule's former football coach, Jappel Hook, a St. Thomas graduate and the current CEO of Potenza Sports, joins us in studio to talk 7-on-7 football and the future of the game. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Keep the Ball Rolling. I'm Brady Halbmeyer, producer Lauren Andrego, and co-host GameMule Hall. GameMule, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Doing pretty well.
We're back, baby. We're back.
We are. I'm happy to be back. Seems like forever.
Too long.
Way too long since we've been recording. We're back. Spring break.
Excited to be back.
In the books. And now we're back. A lot went down.
A lot went down for you. How was during spring break?
Yep, took a little trip to the Bahamas with some friends, and we had a good time.
Well, my butt stayed home in this miserable Minnesota weather, so that was cool.
Yeah, it was not fun coming back to some snowfall. With some more expected snowfall this weekend, I might have to move. this state, I can't do it.
But in the sports world, a lot has happened, huh?
Yeah, great weekend in sports, the Masters. Jim Nance, you know, giving us that beautiful, deep voice.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do my best Jim Nance right here. The Masters on CBS.
The Masters.
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nance.
I saw a tweet on Friday that said, one of my friends tweeted, "There's no better nap than a Masters nap." How true is that statement?
It's, you know, you hear the birds chirping, you hear, you know, Jim Nance talking a little bit, so, you hear a little Spieth and his caddy going back and forth. You just get a great...
You get a little 30 to an hour nap in there, and it's like you wake up and nothing happened. You just hear Jim Nance's voice.
No, Patrick Reed for par. The 15th. So Patrick Reed wins the Masters. I bet on Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. They didn't pull it out, but got second place for the team thing. So I didn't lose too much money on the Masters. But it was an exciting weekend. It was a really fun tournament. Jordan Spieth made a big run on Sunday. Almost did it, but couldn't quite pull it off from Reed.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge golf guy, but, you know, every time the Masters comes on every year, I'm tuned in. I love the Masters. It's great stuff.
Good to see Tiger back.
Oh, yeah.
Good to see him make the cut, and wasn't competitive on the weekend, really. But
got to see Tiger red on Sunday. That's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah, yeah. NBA playoffs, too. Big time of the year for the playoffs. The T-Wolves, huge game Wednesday night.
So nervous.
We'll know the outcome when this show is released, if we made the playoffs or not. But we got Denver on Tuesday night at home, or Wednesday night at home with win or go home.
Win or go home. I wish they weren't in this situation. Makes me really nervous, you know. The Timberwolves are actually the only Minnesota team I cheer for, so I wouldn't call myself a Minnesota sports fan necessarily, but I do root for the Timberwolves. So, you know, I'm hearing from all my Minnesota sports fans, they're so nervous. This is the typical Minnesota sports situation where, you know, you build your hopes up all season,
yeah,
and they crush your heart. I hope this doesn't happen.
So it's been 14 years since?
14 years since they've made the playoffs. The last time they were in the playoffs was the conference finals. We made it to the conference finals against Kobe and Shaq.
Yep, Kevin Garnett team.
Kevin Garnett, beast.
What are you taking? Wednesday night, T-Wolves can do it?
Yeah, they have to. They're at home. You know, they got Jimmy Butler back.
Yep.
I'm feeling good about it. I'm not going to lie, I'm nervous.
You going to go to the game?
I was going to go to the game, but sadly I cannot anymore because apparently I have to work. I guess I got to keep up with my schedule better, but found out I had to work. So I actually bought my ticket right after last Thursday's game against the Nuggets. I was like, you know, I'm foreseeing the future here, and Wednesday is going to be do or die, so yeah. I have to get tickets. So I bought my ticket, later found out that I have to work that night, so can't go to the game. But
all right, well, hey, T-Wolves, I'm not too nervous as a Timberwolves fan, because this isn't going to be our year. In a couple years it will be our year, then we'll be nervous, but if we get in, great. If we don't, hey, let's look to next year and beyond. We got a young team. We got a really talented team.
Very true.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the coaching. But who are you taking NBA Finals?
NBA Finals predictions. You know, it's tough for me not to see an NBA Finals without LeBron James in it. So, especially with Kyrie Irving being hurt out for the rest of the year, I don't have faith in the Raptors. The 76ers are still a young team. So, I mean, almost by default, I have the Cavs in the Finals. But on the other side, it's more interesting conversation. The Rockets had a great year this year. James Harden's been beasting. He's my MVP vote. But it's the Warriors. They, yep. You know, I feel like the Warriors every year, you know, they might slack off. They might have ups and downs during the regular season, but when playoffs come, boom, you know, they're back in it. Last year they went 16-1 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I got Warriors Cavs in my finals with the Warriors taking it home.
How many games?
Four.
Yes.
They're getting swept. I'm sorry, the Cavs are getting swept.
Hey, it's probably going to happen. I think LeBron is – I know people are going to get pissed about this, but LeBron is not going to do it this year. I don't even think they're going to get to the finals. I think this is going to be the streak ends for LeBron.
Back up.
Who do you think? Getting to the finals.
Who's going to be in the finals then?
I'm taking the 76ers. I'm trusting the process all the way to the finals. They get blown out.
There is no process if you say they're going to the finals this year.
Yeah, so I've been trusting it so much, and now my trust is going to pay off. 76ers, Rockets, finals.
And Rockets winning, I hope.
Yeah, sure, I'll take the Rockets in five. I'll take them in five.
That's a bold statement there.
All right, we got a really long interview with Chappelle Hook. Let's get to that.
All right, we are joined in studio by Coach Hook. He'll always be Coach Hook to me. My wide receiver coach at Eden Prairie. We won three state titles together. And by the way, Coach, I think you made a bet with the wide receiver group before we won that third straight title that you would have us over for a barbecue.
I knew that was
going to happen. I don't think that ever happened, so just saying that has to happen at some point. But he was my wide receiver coach at EP. I was his client, I was an intern, and now he's a guest on our show. So we now welcome on CEO of Potenza Sports, Chappelle Hook.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. First of all, I'm actually blown away with your radio voice. we were talking for a second, and then when you went into mode, I was like, "Who am I talking to right now?"
You got
to
put that podcast voice on.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yep. I like that. But it's an honor to be invited on and to be a part of something that, you know, you're putting together, especially considering that I've known you since the high school days. Mm-hmm. Who, might I add, is probably one of the most underrated wide receivers that I had the chance to work with, you know, just sometime. But you made the best of all your opportunities.
Exactly.
And now you got this and exploring some other things, which is impressive.
I had to be at one of the top of the list, most touchdowns in a season. I think I had like four, but that has to be some sort of record at EP, huh?
You know, they used to make jokes, you know, why do we have a wide receivers coach? Because we don't throw the ball. But hey, when did you catch your balls? In the playoffs. Like,
exactly.
I used to tell everyone, it was a different game in the playoffs.
Yep.
But no, it's great to be here, and it's great to see you doing well, and thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. All right, so let's dive right in. People don't know this, but you started here at St. Thomas as a student, and you played football here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this kind of big for, you know, our audience members, because a lot of them are St. Thomas students. So we're a St. Thomas student, and now you're a CEO, founder of your own company. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey from, you know, student here at St. Thomas?
Actually pretty cool, and I hope they still do it, and maybe one day I'll do it. There would used to be a Murray Hall. They did they would bring in a bunch of businesses. Look, you know, the interns got to go in and meet with them. And I went in and I met with a couple guys who had just started the first dial-up internet company south of the Mississippi. And they were, you know, young businessmen, starting their own businesses, had corporate backgrounds. And I went in there, you know, learned some things, but at that time I was still chasing the football dream. So I was, you know, I had a little successful run at that, but having those guys that I met here that were really into the university, into students from coming out of the university, that was life-changing for me. And that was kind of what kind of gave me my roadmap of, I'm going to continue to try to chase the football dream, but if it doesn't work out, mm-hmm. you know, I don't only have to get a great job, but I can start something on my own. And then that also changed how I studied and, you know, what I took, because now I'm taking a little bit of, you know, programming classes, IT, a little web design, a little bit of everything, knowing mm-hmm. I might want to own a business. So, yeah, it was great. And then, you know, as you move on, all the different experiences happen. You know, I end up coaching for a while, mm-hmm. Get to be so close to Mike and learn some different things about, you know, the programs and putting together a program and watching you guys and seeing how you guys were coming along and the resources you did and didn't have. And, you know, a lot of the things I picked up being around different people here at St. Thomas, you know, kind of helped me analyze things differently and go about, you know, deciding what the next play would be, mm-hmm. and also what sometimes is the most profitable play, mm-hmm. Which kind of, you know, made me get into this industry, because mm-hmm. it's, I don't know if you guys know, it's roughly about a $3.5 billion industry, and that's just youth sports. That's not NFL. That's not, you know, college football. Mm-hmm. That's just little kids before they even get to high school. And I think high school might be included, wow. but it's that's a big, crazy. Big industry.
Wow. Can you tell us a little more about Potenza and why you started it and what made you want to do that?
Yeah. So I mean, the company has morphed a couple different ways. It started out as a consulting firm where we used to provide professional services to professional athletes. So that was around the time when I met Gamiel. I was mm-hmm. doing that, and I would be at practice with my headphone on, my earpiece in. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, when you're working with those level of guys, when they pick up the phone and they need your help getting something resolved, or you're doing something major like a concussion conference at the UN and you got events and things like that coming up, that you're an integral part of making sure it's a success, you got to be available. Mm-hmm. But as I did those different types of projects and, you know, was involved and stayed within the sports industry, I just was always researching, always watching and seeing where the gaps fell. And my turned my focus from the business to the location and the kids, meaning Minnesota athletes. Minnesota football players was kind of where we started. Mm-hmm. And seeing, you know, even St. Thomas. St. Thomas can only bring in so many football players. You know, you can't get a whole roster of every high school into the University of St. Thomas. So we had to look and find, why aren't guys getting more opportunities to play when I see the talent? The talent pool here in the state is great. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so I kind of just sat back and watched through my life experiences and finally decided, I want to do something. I'm getting older, you know, I want to do something, one, I enjoy, two, that's actually doing something that helps the community and also help these young men. And then it always comes back, you know, look at me here now with Gamiel. I think, you know, the coaching experience was great, the relationship was great, but the extra steps of after training, doing the internship, maintaining mm-hmm. relationship from, you're getting old. When did you graduate?
2014.
2014. Yep. So, you know, it's been a nice little run. And mm-hmm. usually, you know, you guys, I don't know, maybe you might have a great relationship with your high school coach, but I think this is a little bit different.
For sure.
So
let's go back to that earpiece thing for a sec. I'm actually, he can't have an earpiece in right now because he has his headphones on, but I'm sure he would if we didn't have to have the headphones on.
Yeah, yeah, the earpieces have changed. I've got some really nice ones now.
I'm just saying, back in EP, when we'd have practice, he'd always have his earpiece in, and we didn't know if he was, you know, talking to the players or if he was on his earpiece, but Coach Hook, big earpiece guy.
Yeah.
Coach, what does an average day look like for you now at Potenza? You built this company. What are you doing during the day?
That's a great question. In the morning, 7 a.m., I'm often a little bit earlier organizing things, setting up bookings for hotels, transportation, registration for events. We've got merchandise that, you know, ordering stuff, tracking stuff. Of course, social media, internet activity is big. Business partners, we're supported by an organization called Battle, which is a merchandiser, as well as Running Aces, which is a local Racino up north, a local restaurant called Tavern 4 and 5, Gatorade.
And they're all sponsoring your 7-on-7 teams.
Yes, well, the Gatorade is sponsoring our company as a whole because, okay. And I'll get into that just quickly. Because we do more than just the 7-on-7 team, but the other organizations are more focused on, excuse me, the 7-on-7 team, because they just are in for helping our boys be successful.
Right.
But yeah, it's we got started with a small group, and really now that it's becoming a big business, you know, we're just late to the game. There, when we go to these tournaments, there's anywhere from, I'd say, 20 to 30 teams. And the big tournaments, you're looking at 60 teams.
And you just recently had tryouts, right? And you said 150 tried out for 40 spots?
Well, we have roughly about 3 to 4 tryouts, because there is the whole, you know, we're still trying to get Minnesota to be a little diverse when it comes to things. Right now, Minnesota, the culture is a little bit different. So we have to have a fall tryout for those guys that are football focused. And then we have another spring tryout for guys who either wrestled or played basketball but want to now start to focus on football. So we actually do two tracks. And over that time period, it'll be 40 guys at one, 40 at another, 50 at one. Yeah, so mm-hmm. we'll have about 150 guys try out for 40 slots. We always have some roster changes. Mm-hmm. You know, something you can't do in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to you gotta play with what you got. Mm-hmm. Nah, we have to win because we got sponsors. So we need to make sure we've got the best guys. And this year, it has been an amazing crew of guys that we've come to find.
So we talked about your journey a little bit. You know, you picked up the business skills, your business skills, your marketing skills, your coaching skills all along the way. How have you been able to incorporate, you know, all those skills into your everyday life?
Just trying to have a hand on it and just not doing it basic. You know, it'd be real easy to go buy some t-shirts and just throw my name on something mm-hmm. and, you know, go train kids out on the field. You know, we took it the next step. We, you know, we've got, you know, marketing promotions that we put out to businesses. We've got, of course, our own offices where we were putting together different verticals. So we have our sports teams. We train high school teams. We also manage facilities for high school programs. So if you have a high school and you want to have someone who's qualified and educated around the whole fitness and, you know, athletics, take it, you know, be there for your kids when they come in after school, we provide those services to school. We also have a technology that we're coming out with, which kind of will take a division of the business and make it a tech company. So applying, you know, needing to have all those different skill sets and applying it to the business is kind of easy when you're trying to create something other than just, you know, down the street mom and pop shop.
Mm-hmm. And you said something about off-season training. I know there's kind of a, at least from my high school, is always, are you going to only train for football or are you going to do other sports? What do you think for football specific? Should you do other sports in your off season or should you just be training football?
That's a great question. So I'm a big believer in you should, you know, every sport has a different movement. You know, every sport has different tools that you have to use to be successful. And the more you pick up different tools, the better athlete I think you will be. Football players that play lacrosse, that makes their start and stop a little bit different. You know, football players that play basketball, I love wide receivers that are basketball players because they'll mm-hmm. go up and get it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you should participate in other sports, but at the same time, just like anything, if you ice skate all the time but you race bikes, you better be riding a bike, because if you jump on the bike after not riding it for a whole year, mm-hmm. the guys that have been riding it throughout the year are going to be a little bit better.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And, you know, Minnesota is the hockey state. It's known for hockey. And you talked about, you know, trying to get Minnesota to, you know, grow in the football aspect. What's it going to take, you know, for Minnesota to be maybe not known for football but more respected across the country in football?
Yeah, you know, with some of the changes in the regulations as far as Minnesota not being able to, or from a, you know, team level, from a high school level, being able to compete at the high school level outside of the state, mm-hmm. I think that does, you know, that kind of makes schools that aren't close by, that aren't familiar with the sport and with the athletics here, not even look this way. You know, there's been comments about the competition level, there's been comments about the amount of play. So what we've tried to do to help some of the boys out is attack the amount of play side of things. Because now with them playing 7-on-7, and then I guess where we play in our competition too, because we're playing nationally, so we're seeing boys from Washington, from Florida, from Texas, from California, you know. So we're attacking both, but then the question is, this is 7-on-7. There's no linemen, there's no hitting, there's no none of that. I mean, to me, it goes back to that sharpening tools thing. Trust me, a guy who's been running routes all season, all off season, versus a guy who just hops in and does it. Yeah, if the kid that just hops in and does it is a natural superstar, the guy who's been running routes all offseason against national competition, that superstar will probably have to be a superstar based on the coach, because I bet you the other kid will line up on him and give him the business. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And let's talk more about this, you know, the rise of 7-on-7, because when mm-hmm. I was in high school, it wasn't even really.
Hey, what do you mean? We went to Crown College and won it. What are you talking about?
I don't count that. But, you know, when I was in high school, it wasn't really even a thing. And now, 4 years later, it's everyone's doing it. So why has it got so popular? And
here's the interesting thing. I used to, because I'm from New York, and I moved here in high school. And I remember we had 50 Cent on tape, on cassette tapes. Uh-huh. This is before 50 Cent was 50 Cent. I think he went by a different name. But I remember playing this guy to everybody, and they were just like, what, you know, who, what? No. I don't know. And it was just a matter of he's already out there, just not here yet. So there's the same concept with 7-on-7. You know, everybody in the country's playing it. They've been playing it. And really that's what got me into it was watching some of the, you know, Alabama coaches and a couple of the coaches do a panel on ESPN talking about the positions they of guys they were getting and how much better they played based on their 7-on-7 experience. So it's been being played. It's just catching on here. And I really, we came out of the blocks, you know, kind of a business strategy. You don't come out, you know, you don't come out low level and try to go high level. You aim for the top and work your way down. That's kind of what we've done. So we came out putting together teams with the best players in the state first. And then as that caught on and more best players from different schools, I mean, we definitely have close to 20 different high schools. When that caught on, now it's easier to say, let's put together some youth teams. Let's put together some younger age teams. Let's go more targeted at the masses versus, you know, the elite athletes. But because we're having this success and the guys are getting picked up and recognized, I mean, I don't think, barring any like during the football season injuries, because we haven't had any injuries yet, barring any of the football season injuries where guys had to stop playing, I can't think of really anybody who did not go on beyond, whether it's D2, D3, D1. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think everybody we've touched is still playing football in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back for a second. Will you just explain 7-on-7 to people who aren't familiar with the game?
Great. Yep. So basically, and I do believe, just before I say this, that linemen and tight ends and D-linemen, they are skilled positions that probably DBs and receivers and everyone can't play. So I'm not knocking them, but it's really a game where it's a touch football game and it has the skill position players. So that's five wide receivers and a quarterback. You can interchange wide receivers and running backs as receivers. And then there's seven defensive backs. So really you're playing five against seven. So you have linebackers, DBs, you know, some teams will go all DBs because they want the speed and what have you. But some teams try to keep it more traditional, more realistic, and put a middle linebacker in the middle linebacker spot. So seven DBs against five receivers and a quarterback. And, you know, the game is faster. It's running time. It's longer distances for first downs, which there's no chains. You just have to either get to that spot or not. There are some leagues where you can run once a down or rush once a down, which keeps you on your toes. There's some leagues where it's just sheerly passing. And it's really because of the level of player, it's like one finger touch. So you're not looking at the collisions. You're not looking at the contact. You know, there's a lot of calls for, you know, playing too rough. So as parents start to wonder, hey, safe sports, safe football, and I think we talked about it before, how it's a potential for this to become a thing, and you might not be a football player just because of the safety of the game.
Yeah, like just play 7-on-7.
Yeah, just play 7-on-7. I mean, I don't bar it being that type of activity pretty soon as it catches on.
And so let's go. Where do you see it in 10 years? I know you talk maybe Olympics, maybe moving out.
Hey, you know what? Right now we're doing a lot internationally, and that's right now it's to Canada. Me personally, I mean, I can put this out there because if you want to try and beat me to the punch, go ahead. I just got some ties that you probably don't have. I'm talking to any competitors that might be listening, but my next move is Australia. You know, Aussie rules football picked up here, which is now an Olympic sport. And now we have, you know, NFL teams picking up Aussie rule football guys because these guys are just phenomenal punters and kickers. Mm-hmm. But they also have to run and take contact as well. I think 7-on-7 could have the same type of impact because of the lack of equipment. You know, all you need is a football, you know, and just some clear drawn out lines.
Backyard football.
Backyard football, yeah. But you take some real good coaches. I mean, we got guys we play against like Cam Newton. You know, he has a team. Some of the other players are putting together teams. We had Brian Williams, a former NFL player for years, who was one of our coaches last year. So, I mean, they're catching on to it, and they see the benefit of it as well. So I see it becoming a sport for fun.
So as 7-on-7 grows, do you think tackle football will become less popular? Or?
No, I think it's going to change the dynamic for tackle football.
Okay.
You know, in both ways, you know, it'll become, I think, a much more exciting game. I think the skill set of catching and passing will kind of increase even more. It'll start at a younger age because, I mean, from what I remembered, the fifth and sixth graders really weren't throwing and catching all that well or doing it at all even. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I think with them being able to play 7-on-7 in the summertime, these kids will pick up some new skill sets, so it might change the game and they'll be a little more talented as they get older. But at the same time, too, these kids are playing faster. So it might pick up, you know, the activity and in contact. But it's just that all can be countered by proper coaching.
What similarities do you see between 7-on-7 football and, let's say, AAU basketball?
Great question. So in the 10 years thing, and I think, you know, this is now, this is before 10 years, I see, you know, me being a coach, knowing the job of a coach and being close and almost trying to apprentice another coach, a head coach, I see the activity and the things that they have to do and the responsibility for recruiting. Although a great coach provides some support there, I think it's a lot to ask unless all the coaches here are making Texas coaches money. Which is, you know, some of these guys are making close to college coaches money, not quite $1 million, we're making $200,000 and $300,000 down south with college stadiums. Unless we are paying coaches like that, but I don't see that to be a mandatory job for a coach. So 7-on-7, I mean, I think hopefully the coaches and more people that are starting organizations are like mine are as interested in understanding the process, knowing that you could play all the 7-on-7 if you want. If you're not on the field in September, it's all for naught if you're trying to play college ball. So if coaches understood that the guys like me that are starting these programs feel that way, then they understand that we're not saying don't do your program, do our program, because we know, you know, our program would be nothing if our guy didn't get on the field in the fall and just destroy it. Right. So I'm pro whatever your coach tells you need to do, because thankfully to the rules of the state, there's a point in time your coach can't really have that impact and help you get better. So that's what we're here. So we see ourselves becoming like an AAU, to where college coaches are, hey, let's go watch that 7-on-7 tournament. Mm-hmm. We hear that, you know, Johnny, who jumps over everybody, is going to be jumping over some people this weekend. Let's go check him out and see if he's the real deal. And, you know, so same thing with AAU. They look and they watch the guys play free, whereas they get to their high school and they might only be allowed to shoot threes, but now they know, you know, Freddie can dunk backwards after he tapped it off the top of the backboard, you know. So, yeah, so I see that's within the 10-year mark, it becoming more of a resource to help guys get exposure and get picked up without needing to do all these camps and really cost the parents a whole lot more money than 7-on-7 does.
Yeah. All right, Coach, no pressure here, but who's the best athlete you've ever coached?
Come on,
no pressure,
man.
No pressure. You don't say me. Just no pressure.
Come
no pressure,
on. The best. You said the best athlete.
Best athlete. Doesn't have to be football player. Best athlete.
Nah, we can't. You can't do
it doesn't
that
have,
one.
You can't just do that based one. On skill. Based on skill.
You can't do that one either. That's
all right, I'll give you another one. Can you give me a funny story about Gamiel from the coaching from the Eden Prairie days?
Oh, this is a really funny story. This is hilarious.
I'm nervous.
So this guy used to come to practice. I think it was your junior year.
Yeah.
He came to practice, and he'd go hard. He was a hard worker. He was a good, you know, talented kid. And one day he would be 200%, balls to the wall, killing it. Yep. Next day, he couldn't even bend over to tie his shoe. So I'm like, okay, and this happened for like almost 2 weeks now straight. I said, dude, what's going on with you? He was like, My back. Don't worry about it, coach. I'll be good to go tomorrow. I'm going to the chiropractor tonight. I'm like, so every time you've had a great day of practice, it's the day after the chiropractor? He was like, yeah, it is. I said, okay, let's try this. Don't go to the chiropractor for 2 days in a row, or I don't know how long, but it was a couple days in a row. He didn't go where he typically would have went. He was in such bad shape. Like, he was, like, he couldn't even barely walk. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, go to the doctor, talk to your parents, go to the doctor, get some pictures taken. He goes in, fractured vertebrae.
Two bones.
Yes. He's freaking walking around in a body cast for the rest of the school year and couldn't play.
Couldn't play the rest of the year.
The rest of the year. That was like, I mean,
great.
I went through all of camp too.
Yeah.
2 days, everything.
He went through everything. It was just, and you know what? But that's at the same time there too. It was like, a lot of guys don't have that heart. A lot of guys that have been, you know, I've seen guys stub their toe and act like they broke their ankle. Mm-hmm. So,
I remember my senior year, the day before the first game, last practice, I dislocate my finger, break my finger.
I mean, it was sideways.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
And as a matter of fact, wasn't the first game, the first play of the first game, we call Gamio's number. Yeah. We send it, we're like, hey, we're going to just come out the gates, so we're just going to shock them. And Conley threw you, what, like a 60-yard bomb for a touchdown.
63 yards.
It's not a bad way to start your senior year.
That isn't, especially after fracturing your finger or dislocating your finger the day before. I was livid because I didn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
And I was livid. I'll never forget that. Yeah, we had some good times. It was a great experience. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Coach, we got one more question. Lauren Andrega, our producer, has got this one for you.
Coach, we're going to switch the topic away from football now.
Okay.
Are you a basketball fan?
Yes.
Okay, we've been asking every guest the same question, taking a running toll. Who's the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Okay. You know, some of these people around those people are my friends. So that's hence the reason for the earpiece.
So there's high stakes.
Well, I don't. They may not. You know, hopefully, I don't know. But anyway, well, I'm from the Jordan era, so I mean, I've seen Michael Jordan do things, guys his size, necessarily that LeBron, I think, would find a little bit easier to do, being, you know, superhuman like most of our kids in this crazy water we have. You know, I don't know how you end up 5'2", 5'5" parents and you're 6'8". I would say for overall, I mean, until LeBron gets 6 rings, that's it. That's, I mean, like people say to me all the time, you know, you used to coach. I got 4 rings. What you got? So no, I'm gonna go with Mike because of the completion. Now, I would give LeBron something because he's done more with his role as of late with some of the things going on, and I like the fact that he's like, screw the sponsors, screw everybody, I'm gonna speak up and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I think Jordan's in the lead overall right now, right?
Yeah, way up. By far.
Way up.
I mean, it's expected.
Because we're interviewing everyone from the Jordan era, I'm just saying.
Oh, you're a LeBron guy?
He's the only LeBron. We've had two LeBron guys. I'm a Jordan guy. I'm not from the Jordan era, but hey, you can't argue.
Appreciate good athletics. Yeah. The freaks of nature don't count.
Coach, that's all the time we got. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
It was fun.
It was great.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to talk NFL draft. We're going to see if we can get some NFL draft
Experts.
Get them in, get some good interviews. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Peace.